and seeking his face and his presence. A question I would ask you on your faith exam today is, do you practice the presence of God? Do you press into the presence of God? And again, you do that through the constant yieldedness of a humble heart, but also through rejoicing and through the giving of thanks. The third area that builds up our faith is obviously prayer. The Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. In other words, we're to never stop our communion with God in prayer. Jesus calls us to pray. He calls us to pray in his name. He calls us to take every one of his promises as a yes to us and to believe and press into. In fact, Peter writes that the promises of God are precious and they are magnificent. Don't you love those two words? They are valuable and dear to our hearts, but they're also magnificent and they're powerful promises. Look what Jesus says in John 15:15. John 15:15. He says, "No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain." Now get this. Here's the fruit. "So that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you." Yeah. I mean, I don't know about you, but I want that in my life. Whatever I pray about, I receive it. Amen? And I'm telling you today, God is wanting us to operate in this. Whatever we ask the Father in his name, Philippians tells us we're to pray about everything with thanksgiving. And we're to move in and enter into and make our requests known to God with thanksgiving, and his peace will be with us. You know, prayer is what keeps you in faith, but prayer also is what keeps you in peace. Because I believe faith and peace go together. The hope is the anchor of our soul. There's another aspect I want to challenge you about today, especially understanding this as spirit-filled believers, and it's found over in the book of Jude, which is the book right before the book of Revelation. There's only one chapter. And look at verse 17 with me there in the book of Jude. He says, "But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you," now get this, "in the last time there will be mockers, following after their own ungodly lust. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit." Now, how many of you know that's something you have to watch for? People that are carnally minded and they're devoid of the Spirit of God. They will tend to mock the things that you're believing in. How many of you find that out? And we even see that just through the media that bombards us. But it goes on to say, "But you, beloved," those of you who believe and are full with the Spirit, look what it says, "building yourselves up on your most holy faith," what does it say? "Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." Ephesians says we're to pray at all times in the Spirit. I'm telling you, sometimes I don't know how to pray, but I just yield to the Holy Spirit. Hello? This is important for us. I'm telling you, we need to learn to do that more. So many times we want to pray according to our understanding. Are you with me? But see, the Bible says in Proverbs to not lean under our own understanding. You can't lean. How many know that'll always get you down the wrong rabbit trail, right? But God is calling us to pray more and more in the Spirit. I'm encouraging you during these times, pray much in the Holy Spirit and build up your most holy faith. But it also keeps you in the love of God, which is even more important, that we are flowing in the love. And I love the very next verse. Verse 22 says this, "And have mercy on some who are doubting." You know, if somebody's doubting, it's not my job to berate them and make them feel like they're substandard in their belief because they're having a hard time. I meet people from time to time that they're being bombarded with all the things we are, but they're not handling it well and they're doubting. And I find that curious. That's the very next verse. In other words, to keep ourselves in the love of God and to be built up on our most holy faith, the purpose of it is that you and I can show mercy on those that are doubting. And the best way to show mercy is just to show them, to give them hope, to speak encouragement to them. Hey, God's got this. We're coming through this. Amen? We're going to make it. God's not done. He's still on the throne. There's just things you can do that are actually merciful to the doubter. Not to judge the doubter and make them feel that way. So here's some more exam questions. Are you ready? How much and how often do you pray? Have you learned how to pray without ceasing? In other words, when you leave your prayer closet, you don't disconnect from the Holy Spirit. But you continue. How often do you pray in the Spirit? Do you pray at all times in the Spirit? It's just questions I want you to ask. I want to provoke you to think as you take your faith exam. Obviously, we need to continually examine ourselves and give ourselves these faith checkups because God is not finished with us as individuals or as a church body. Would you agree with me? He's not finished with us. We're to be a church. As a church, we're to have an apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic assignment from the Lord. Amen? To be salt and light wherever we would go and even to the ends of the earth. God, that's our assignment as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul was writing to Timothy, his spiritual son, Paul said to him, according to those prophecies that have been spoken over you, fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience. Now he goes on to say, some have neglected this, okay? And they shipwreck in regards to their faith. In other words, you can't shipwreck if you don't set sail. So you can set sail with a prophetic word and an insight and you're going for God. But see, if we don't fight the good fight, we could easily run aground somewhere. You with me? And so we got to understand that. And so Paul was telling his son in the Lord, he says, keep that perfect. The biggest thing for me to stay in faith is to keep a prophetic perspective. Because there's going to be those things that come up on our radar that just do not match what we feel like God called us to do. And we're like trying to figure that out. And yet God is saying that he wants us to be able to navigate through that with a prophetic perspective. That's what it means to have a good conscience. And can I tell you today, Paul was speaking from experience. We're talking about a man who could sing praises to God in prison with a bloodied back from a beating. We're talking about a man who suffered a lot of hardship and a lot of persecution. So when I hear an apostle like that speak to us through the word of God and to his spiritual son Timothy to say, you fight the good fight. He's not talking about something he hasn't learned to do himself. How about you? But that builds my faith to know that he's called me to that. So here's another question on your exam today. Are you fighting a good fight? Are you fighting a good fight? How about this? No matter what's going on in your life, are you fighting the good fight? Because the key is to trust in the goodness and the greatness of the plan of God for your life. Let me say that again. The key, well, let's put it this way. The key is to trust the heart of God, his plan for you, and his goodness and greatness. And it's that trusting in God. What do we know so well? He causes all things to work together for our good. And there's no qualifying there that I have to understand it. But just like Joseph, I have to know, I have seen what the Lord said my destiny is. And that's what I've set my eyes on. If we fail in this area of the test, we risk having a faith shipwreck. How many of you ever shipwrecked? Don't raise your hands because I can't see them on the video, especially some of you in the room, I can see it. But we've all had some faith shipwrecks. And let me tell you what, God is want to put you back in the water, okay? So this is not about, you know, coming to this. What it says, do something about it. You know, get your boat back in the water for God. But I'm telling you, we need a faith that finishes the job. We tend to be a people that like to get revved up and worked up and hyped up. And many times we kind of peter out on the water before we get very far. But God's calling us to something greater than that. There's a story, we won't turn to it, but I'll just kind of reference it for a few minutes. You heard me teach on it before. It's in the book of Acts. Paul was on a ship, a vessel, traveling to go ultimately stand before Caesar in Rome. And as Paul was traveling on this, before they set sail, Paul gave them a word of warning that it would not be good for us to set sail at this time. Most of you have read this story. But the captain disobeyed Paul or didn't listen to Paul, and he sailed his vessel right into a perfect storm. Now, knowing the danger that they were in, and if you read the story, it gets worse after worse. I mean, nothing looks happy at all or promising at all. And Paul goes before the Lord. And I love what Paul's heart is, because Paul was seeking that none of the men on that vessel, even though they had dishonored his word that would have protected them, none of the men on the vessel, he said, I pray that none of them perish. It's an amazing thing. How many of you know, No matter what's going on, we're to be an unselfish people. Please get that into your heart. We're to be an unselfish people. We're to be a kind, a caring, and a merciful people, especially toward those who are doubting. Because even these men were freaking out at this time. They're throwing cargo overboard. They're doing everything they can to try to save the vessel. But we're to be a people who, like our Heavenly Father, get this, wish that none should perish. And that was the heart of the Lord that was coming through Paul in his prayers. Well, if you read on, the angel of the Lord appears to Paul. And he says to Paul, that none of the men will be lost. They will all be saved. Hallelujah. But then he says this, but the vessel will be lost. Interesting, right? You're all going to make it, but the vessel's not going to make it. How many know there are consequences to disobedience? Hello. But they're not going to make it. The vessel itself will not make it. And then he went on to say, and by the way, you will stand before Caesar. Because I don't even know, his mode of transportation just is getting ready to be eliminated. But he said, but you will stand before Caesar. And he said, you're going to shipwreck on a certain island, a certain island. I mean, when God's in control, we don't always understand. We think something is circumstantial, but no, there's a certain island they were going to crash upon, and that island's name was Malta, the island of Malta. Let me tell you today, even in a demonic attack where the enemy is meant to cause harm and even the loss of life and to try to abort our mission, God can give a God detour and set up. I mean, he can do that. Because again, Paul's initial mode of transportation wasn't going to get him there, but the mission was still valid. The vessel shipwrecked. Let me say that to you. But Paul's faith did not. Amen. Oh, that's what we got to learn, don't we? My circumstances may look like they've shipwrecked, but my faith is not shipwrecked. I'm keeping a good perspective. I know this is what God's called me to do. This is what God has shown me. This is what God has prophesied over me. And I'm going to walk in the beauty of the Word of God. So, beloved, no matter what's going on around us, we are in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Remember we read Psalm 91 last week or the week before? I don't remember now. We studied the week before because Greg was with us last week. But in Psalm 91, you know, you may see 1,000 fall at one hand and 10,000 the other, but it shall not come nigh you. So we have to understand that. So we have to guard our eye gates and our ear gates. Because if we fail to stay in faith, if we fail to keep that good perspective, here's what I always find out happens before we shipwreck. I become very depressed. Any humans out there? I become depressed. I become anxious. Come on. And I become filled with fear instead of filled with the spirit of faith. And I find myself, I'm trying to figure all this out. And then I decide that I will take control and fix it. Anybody with me? I will fix it now, Lord. Just, you know, go and take your nap. Right? And I'm telling you, that's what we got to be careful of. Sometimes we do end up in places, we end up in situations we don't understand. Like Paul, think about this. You're going to all land safely on Malta, but you know how they got to the island? They literally were hanging on to pieces of the vessel and floated into the island. But every one of them made it. Isn't that amazing? Now, I don't know about you. You're probably thinking, well, this has not been a really good day. You know, I'm floating in on a plank from the ship, making my way in to crash on this island. But again, God causes what? All things to work together for good. And what the devil meant to try to destroy and abort Paul's mission, God just said, no, we're going to take a God detour. And Paul knew that. Now, interestingly, the name Malta means honey or sweetness. I like to put it this way in our vernacular today. It's like, believe it or not, even in a shipwreck, Paul landed at a sweet spot. Let me know. But see, if you're not in faith, you won't see that. You'll float up on shore and sit there and have a pity party for about 4 days and complain to God, what am I doing here? Don't show me your hands. We've all done it. Why am I here, right? But you know what? It could be the very place you're at is a sweet spot. It's a Malta. It's your Malta. So Paul begins to, they're cold and wet, obviously, so they begin to gather sticks for a fire. And Paul, being a true leader, was a servant. He wasn't going to sit there and let everybody else gather sticks. He jumped in there with them and started gathering up sticks and for the fire, and a viper comes out and attaches to Paul's hand. I don't know, maybe at that point, some of us at that point would say, okay, enough. God, what's going on? You know, God, why are you letting this happen to me? But no, he just shook it off. Everybody say, shake it off. Sometimes you got to learn how to shake it. He shook it off into the fire. Now, the islanders that are watching him are going, This guy must be cursed. First of all, his boat wrecks, right? They barely make it here. And the first thing he does is get bit by a viper, because here's why. They knew anybody that got bit by that viper would almost instantly swell up and die. So they're sitting there just waiting for the man of God to die. And he didn't. He just kept gathering sticks and time went on. And then people are fickle. I guess you figured that out. And you know what happened next? They went, he's a god. They're willing to say he was a god. Of course, Paul, you know, nicks that in the bud. But time went on, and there was a man on the island who was a leader of the island. Some scholars say he would be like maybe a governor of the island or something like that. His name was Publius. And his father was gravely ill. And Paul went to visit him and prayed for him. And God healed him. And he raised him up. And now everybody on the island is coming to Paul. Everybody that was sick, the Bible says, came to him and God healed them. And how many of you know revival broke out? Truly, Malta became their sweet spot. And a great revival broke out. And in a period of about 3 months of staying there on the island, I can't imagine. Can you imagine what Paul was doing? He was probably discipling like crazy, right? All these new disciples and getting them ready. Because he knew, I'm not going to be staying here. I'm going to be going on to my final destination, which is to stand before Caesar. And as he did, they helped together, and another vessel came through, and Paul went on his voyage, and he did stand. We read in the book of Acts, he stood before and testified of Jesus before Caesar. What an amazing story. What an amazing event. Now, how many of you know, if we need to test our faith, are we able to move through these processes that happen in our lives? And I kept thinking about that story over and over. I was listening to a video by Lance Wallnau earlier in the week, and he had mentioned this story, and I hardly heard anything else that Lance said after that, because I kept meditating on this story, because I've taught on it before, and the Lord was just reminding me. On the one hand, Paul really did have Psalm 91 protection, because, you know, the poison of that snake did not kill him, right? What we don't like sometimes is when we get bit by the snake. True. Hello. But it didn't kill him. But on the other hand, he knew this: I've been ordained by God to lay my hands upon the sick and they shall recover. And so it's both sides of that. There's the protection of the Lord, but there's also the reason and purpose in him protecting you is to use you for his glory, to bring the power of God to a general. We have a hurting people out there right now. We have a people that are afraid. They're scared. They're frantic some places. Go look at store shelves. And I'm telling you, God is wanting to show his glory even through this. Are y'all with me? God will protect us, but he intends to use us for his glory. Here's another faith exam question. Are you good at believing that God has truly favored you even when you take a God detour? Are you still believing that even in that place, God still wants to use me? Check your heart about that, because that's important. Because I want to encourage you to do the things that you must do to strengthen your faith and then to stay in faith. I would encourage you this. Do the things that bring angelic activity into your life. I won't give you the full teaching. We can't possibly do that today. I may teach on it some this week. But the things that bring angelic activity into your life is praise and worship, when you give voice to the Word of God, and the testimony of Jesus. That's clear in the Word of God. Angels work in that atmosphere. They ascend and descend from heavenly places, and it's a powerful. But the Bible says they were sent out for the purpose, for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. So we're about understanding what God's called us to do, then the voice of the Word of God that's being spoken, angels work with that. So I would encourage everyone, get his word, get the testimony of Jesus in your mouth, because that'll bring the angelic activity. By the way, the passage that beautifully brings that out is the end of Psalm 103, where it talks about angelic activity connected to our mouth, okay? So again, here's another question for you in your faith exam. Is the Word of God, the testimony of Jesus, continually in your mouth? What did Jesus say? By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. When Nathanael came up and Jesus said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? And Jesus said, earlier when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And immediately, Nathanael believes because of that word of knowledge. He believed in the Lord, and even Jesus marveled. He said, you believe because I said, I saw you under the fig tree. I said to you, you will see greater things than these. You will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a realm in the kingdom the Lord wants us to be able to see. We were praying and singing that in worship today, were we not? We were coming before God. Lord, let your kingdom come. Allow it to come. Change the atmosphere. Let's be thermostats. Amen? Let's use the keys of the kingdom and believe God to see the heavens open and see the angels descending. What a promise. Let me ask you this. Do you expect to see or sense angelic activity in your life? After all, he's what? Given his angels charge concerning you to keep you in all of your ways. Hallelujah. Our Lord, the Lord that you love and serve, is the Lord of the angels. He's called the Lord of hosts. Amen? And so he's our Lord and he's their Lord too. And we can expect that action. There's a cool story. We won't read the verses directly. I'll just quote a couple things to you. It's found in 2 Kings 6. Elijah's there with his attendant. The man would be like a, it would be like a, an attendant to him, or like an armor bearer that was there with Elijah the prophet. And Elijah the prophet had upset the king very badly because they were understanding that this Elijah, this guy hears so well, he knows what you whisper in your bedroom. So the king found out Elijah was in this particular place, and he sent his army, chariots and horses, to go surround the city just to get Elijah. Elijah. And so we see this, these chariots of horses are surrounding the city. The army is there. And Elijah's attendant rises up in the morning, and he saw the army there. And then he goes to Elijah, and he says, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And Elijah told him, I get this. He said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Come on. Yes. Now, probably if I'd have been his servant, I would have been one, two. Lord, the math, I'm not a mathematician, but this is not looking like, what are you talking about? And then Elijah prayed. Everybody say Elijah prayed. "Oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened his servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain around them was full. How many of the high places? That's where you win the victory. And the mountain around was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Now, we don't always get to see, and it's cool when God shows you things, but I'm telling you right now, we need to have faith to believe and know there is more with us than there are with them. Amen? This is important. Beloved, do not fear during this time. Do not fear, for those who are with us are much more than those who are with them. I pray that especially during this time of trouble, that our eyes will be open to the reality of two things. Number one, the Lord our God is with us. And number two, his mighty host is encamped round about us. I'll tell you, there's nothing that will get you more in faith than to believe that as a principle. And then you could add a third thing, that my God will take anything in my life and work it for good. Because I love God and I'm called according to his purposes. And when you get that down, there's a solidifying of your faith that comes. And we're not easily blown into fear at every little thing that comes about. We need to seize the moment that is at hand as the people of God in this hour and draw near to the Lord. I believe the Lord is calling us to reestablish our homes as houses of refuge, protected by the blood of our Passover lamb. I'm going to teach some on that this week. So everybody stay connected on the internet with us and everything. I'm going to do some teachings this week on that, because I believe there's something prophetically very significant, even to have to do with this virus. Okay? But can I tell you this right now? Some of the idols of our culture are being forcibly removed from us during this time. Think about it. We've been forced to kind of fast from or abstain from sports. Hello? Entertainment. Carnal pleasures. Right? And maybe so that, like Laodicea, you remember the lukewarm church Laodicea? They said, "Everything's fine. We're provided for. We're doing well. We're warm and filled." Remember that? And the Lord says, "But I say to you that you are poor and wretched and blind and naked." In other words, what was God saying? You think because everything's fine and you're paying the bills, you're okay, everything's cool. And I say to you, you're spiritually bankrupt. And sometimes, let's be honest, guys, we could get into a place. Many, many years ago, I had a friend when I was living in Memphis that Memphis was right in the south, is, not was, it's still there, in the southwest corner of the state of Tennessee. And when you go south out of the city, you go into Mississippi. And a friend of our church back then knew I was feeling called of the Lord to set aside 10 days to pray and fast. But I wanted to get away, completely get away. I didn't want to go to my church office every day. I wanted to literally be alone. I thought. And so he gave me the keys to his lake house down in Mississippi. And I went down there with water. Nothing else. And about the third day into this thing, I'm about to bounce off the walls because I realize how much. And I begin to realize I don't do lonely very well. But I even begin to realize all the more how much I didn't know and how closely I wasn't walking with God. Because he was always with me. It was a transforming time for me because I learned to draw on the presence of the Holy Spirit like never before. I mean, I realized I was knowing him more in ministry settings and in services and things like that. You know what I mean? Doing outreaches and missions trips. I knew him in that way. But just being alone with just me and God and the clouds and the lake and the humidity of the south, I was like desperate just to talk to somebody. And I realized how much I was not intimate with the Lord that I needed to be. Are y'all with me? So sometimes we go through things and it's almost like God says, you won't fast, but you're going to go on one. You're not going to sit around and be absorbed all the time with some of the idols of our culture. And I believe this is a time for that. Hope you'll receive that with a understanding of my heart towards you. I'm not judging anyone. But let's allow this time to prepare you and your house. Let's pray and let's fast for our nation and for the nations of the world. But let's also ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. Because we all have an assignment. Would you agree? But with the assignment of God, there's a requirement of consecration of our heart. And sometimes we have to look at those things. We are his people. We are his church. We are his body. Christ filling all of us in all of us. Ephesians chapter 1. Say that with me. Christ filling all of us in all of us. His church is to be a house of redemption. The church is to be a house of prayer. The church is to be a house of refuge. The church is to be an apostolic prophetic house. The church is to be a house of revival and a house of harvest. That's what the church is supposed to be. So let's redeem this time because I believe the Lord is near. And I believe just as he was in the book of Revelation, he's knocking on the doors of the heart of his church, saying he wants to have intimacy. So open your hearts. I want to decree something today. I want to speak right now to the dry bones. I want to speak to the desolate places. And I say today, hear the word of the Lord and redeem this time. For now is the time to worship. Now is the time to draw near like never before. This is the time of a divine rattling of the bones coming together for a fresh wind of renewal of the Holy Spirit to breathe upon us and raise us up to be that army of God in the earth for such a time as this. Hear the word of the Lord, O dry places. Hear the word of the Lord, O dry bones. For God has a purpose, even in our desolation, to bring us forth. Y'all receive that? Yes. Receive that into your life, into your family. Freedom Gate, we're here for you, especially during this time. None of us have any excuses with today's technology, do we? To not be connected and to not communicate. Now, I'm believing, as most of you are, we're believing that all these restrictions are going to be lifted very soon. In fact, there's a couple of prophetic words I'm going to teach from that I heard this week that give me great encouragement about some breakthroughs before Passover that's coming up in around the 8th or 9th of April. But remember at Passover, each house took a lamb. Each household took a lamb. So there's something going on here that's beyond just what we feel like we're being forced to do. If we will seize the moment for God. There's a divine fellowship that's in the spirit that I believe we can partake of. Now, how many of you know being together is better than not being together? So I'm not trying to say, you know, we're going to be an online church the rest of our life. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying there is a fellowship in the spirit. Paul would say that. He said, I long to be with you, but I'm not going to be able to be with you. And he would talk about, but I'm with you in spirit. That's an amazing thing. He spoke of a divine connection that we have. It's koinonia. It's a fellowship that's in the spirit. It's not based upon having a barbecue together. It's based upon our communion together in the Holy Spirit. And I believe even right now, we can have that communion. I believe this morning, those of you that were worshiping with us who were here at the building, that there was a divine thing in the Spirit. Y'all with me? I'm trying to be weird. But there's something there more to that maybe than we even know. Draw close to the Lord with your household, But also, don't disengage from your spiritual family, okay? Be engaged all the more. You know, they're using this term that we need to, what do they say? Social distancing. Well, I don't like that. I saw a meme the other day. I said, y'all pray for us. Us huggers are having a hard time, right? But I don't like social distancing, but I actually don't like the use of that word. Let's just call it this. We're being asked for physical distancing. But in all honesty, we could still have social closeness, right? Hello? We could take advantage of the technology. We can take advantage and communicate with one another. Nobody's more connected than this generation to be able to connect it to people even around the globe. You could face somebody from another country and look at their image, you know? So, I mean, I'm telling you, there's some creative ways for us to be connected. So, anyway, I'll get off of that. But don't stop communicating. I want to say this to everyone. Let us know when you have a need, and let us know especially when you need prayer. And don't stop praying. Don't stop rejoicing. Don't stop giving thanks. And I'm going to go on and say it. Don't stop giving. Don't stop blessing. Hallelujah. I'm just going to say it real quickly for the sake of those. Even today, you can give without having to physically put something in a basket. You can give. You can use your banking app on Zelle and all the things we told you about yesterday. PayPal on the church's website. And actually, I don't know how many Sundays we'll be doing this with a small group, you know, before everybody can come back. But if you've got cash and you want to drive by and drop off your cash if you need to do that way. But Susan said there's actually a cash app that you can use. And you can contact her about that and she'll help you. Anyway, I'm going to move on for that, but I'm not going to actually move on from it because I think it's important to what we're doing. Because one of the ways you return to the Lord is in your giving, according to Malachi 3. Just remember this. We are in God's unshakable kingdom economy. How many of you know, when you're not going to get paid next week, that's hard to have faith for. Hello. Let's just be real. But always give in faith and give with joy as worship unto the Lord. Continue to tithe and give your offerings to your storehouse where you get fed, your church. And he's faithful to do what? Open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. How many of you, God is not limited to blessing you through a paycheck. Hello. And you know, the government may be releasing some checks, but that is not the only way God can bless you, okay? Are you with me? Don't get caught up in looking to the government to be your daddy, okay? Some will be impacted by this current economic situation more than others, obviously. Some people are still working. Some are working from home. There's others that are not getting any hours anymore. Here's what I'd like to ask everyone to do. If you have the means to pray about an offering over and above your normal giving, it won't do any good to rob the tithe to give to benevolence, but we want to build up our benevolence account for a time such as this, okay? Fair enough? And so we'll ask you to do that. And in fact, it's very biblical. In the earliest church, what we read, they were coming and they were bringing their offer. They were selling lands and doing various things in order to meet the needs of the church. Because the church was instantly 3,120 people. There were 120 in the upper room and 3,000 got saved. They immediately had issues to deal with. And they understood that. But I will say this. Don't give begrudgingly or under compulsion, but always give cheerfully and in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Paul actually encouraged people, we don't want to preach these verses, but he encouraged people to give even in difficulty and in lack, to still give. He didn't say, oh, you shouldn't have. Jesus, when he's watching the givers give into the offering box, you know the story, the woman who gave the two mites, the widow, just two mites, her last two mites. And Jesus actually made an example out of her. He didn't say, oh, here, honey, take it back. But he had made an example of her that she, it wasn't about the monetary value, it was about her heart, and she had given more than everybody else in that room had given. Now, I'm not telling you to give something that you need to pay a bill with, but I am saying just keep your heart open to how God might want to use you in that. Paul told the Philippians, he said, your giving, get this, is a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, who will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I stay in faith about that every day of my life. On mine and Susan's behalf, on behalf, you know, my household and family, on behalf of this church and the ministry we have. I pray that every day, that God is supplying all of our needs. I quote some other verses. That my God will supply me with a sufficiency for everything to meet every need, and an abundance to carry out and do every good work. But that's just the word of God. You get that word of God in your mouth, guess what? There's some angels of provision that get active in your life. So don't fear. When you give, give in faith and trust God. Everybody say amen. Everybody on the video say amen. Okay, all right. Let me ask you another faith question as we prepare for communion here this morning. Regarding what I said, do you give and you keep giving no matter what, even in times of trouble? So I would encourage you to pray about that. I want to read that verse for you that I opened up with out of the Message translation again. Test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, that not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. How many are ready to do something about any area where you feel like, I didn't do so well in that question? This is the time to not only examine our faith, but to build up our most holy faith. Think about this. During the Passover in Egypt, the Lord commanded a lockdown. He did. Every member of the house was to get home and get in the house. And they were to partake of their own Passover lamb that they had prepared. And then they were to take the blood of that lamb and place it on the doorpost. And they were to abide there until the death angel crossed over and passed over. So I want to say to you today, don't get depressed. Don't get anxious or feel bad about this lockdown period. I believe our faith is being tested and we're all being strengthened through this. And God's going to show us some great things. Amen? That light's motion sent. Yeah, there you go. It's back on. Hallelujah. I know y'all were just thinking, well, Pastor Rick, did you not pay SRP? No. Everybody, God is doing a work. Amen? God is doing something. He's up to something. And don't be in despair. Wait expectantly upon the Lord. Amen? Yes. Final passage. I quote it to you all the time. Psalm 27:4. I would have despaired unless I had believed. Believed what? Talk to me. That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait. That word again means expectantly on the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait upon the Lord. Your final exam question, are you in despair or are you in faith? Are you jittery in your waiting, like, oh God, come on, what's going on? I don't understand all this. Or are you in faith in your waiting and expectancy before the Lord? Hallelujah. Everybody okay? I know you're thinking, I didn't come to church to get a pop quiz, but we need it, don't we? We need it. We need a checkup. Hallelujah. Let's don't be in despair. You know, the broken body, I'll ask everybody in their homes and here, do we have a way to distribute it? Do you have a tray or something? We're going to receive communion, and everybody in their homes today is, I've asked them to prepare communion. So if everybody get ready for that right now, and get your kids ready and all of that, and we'll get the elements passed out. Give everybody a moment to do that. Hallelujah. How many of you know that the broken body and shed blood of Jesus is the remedy for everything? Amen? The answer is the cross. And on the cross that was made. And can I tell you this morning? No matter any of the faith questions, you feel like you failed the test, Jesus has already paid the price for you to pass the test. He paid the price in full. It is finished. Would you say that with me? It is finished. Now, the reason we partake of the Lord's table, everybody remember why? What did Jesus say? Do this in remembrance. Everybody say in remembrance. We're remembering his broken body and we're remembering his shed blood for us. But also, can I tell you this? Paul wrote, also to discern rightly the body of Christ and the sacrifice that was made. But examine yourselves. So while we examine ourselves, here's the way I believe it. Every time we receive communion in faith, what we're doing is we're reconciling every area of our life unto God through that sacrifice, spirit, soul, and even our body. We're reconciling it unto the Lord through the sacrifice of Jesus. So even today, if you're feeling like, you know what, I need my faith to be strengthened. There's some areas I'm not really strong. Then even today, let that be reconciled through what Jesus has already paid the price for us. Amen? Because the Bible says this, even when we are faithless, he is faithful. He's always faithful. So Jesus took the bread. Thank you. Jesus took the bread. And as all of us know, he said, what? This is my body broken for you. Would you say that with me? This is broken for you. Well, let's make it very personal. Say, Lord, this is your body broken for me. Now, before we partake of it, consider this. He bore our sicknesses and pains, our infirmities. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastened for our peace and our well-being, our wholeness. And by the 39 lashes upon his back, we were healed. Spirit, soul, and body, we are the healed of the Lord. So as you've examined yourself today, as you partake of this bread, eat of his broken body, and eat unto healing and wholeness, in Jesus' name right now. If you'll take the cup, we're also redeemed, purchased of God, amen? Cleansed, healed by the blood, protected by the blood. How many of you love the protection of the blood? The blood is protection. Jesus said this, this is the blood of a new covenant. So think about this morning, saints. Every precious and every magnificent promise is yes to you because of the blood, and the blood still speaks. I declare over you today, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Yes. I say it again, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. For we are delivered out of the hand of the enemy by the blood of Jesus, our Passover lamb. Yes, Lord. So today I want you to think as you drink of the cup that you are applying the blood to your life, to your family, to your home, to your dwelling. Drink of it, all of it now in Jesus' name. Decree with me right now. Come on, everybody together. Even in your homes right now, everyone together. Let's say it together. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. No deadly pestilence or viruses or terror shall come nigh my dwelling. My family and all of my loved ones are covered in the blood, by the power of the blood, and in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As we close today, I want to agree with you for that protection. I know some of you are still going back and forth into your offices and things. Others of you will be home. But right now, I just take authority over any spirit of fear and anything that would try to attach itself to you today. The blood stands against it. The name of Jesus has authority over it right now. And I would like to ask you to do this as you begin this week together. Don't dread it and think you're just going to be homebound, and don't even say those things. But would you right now, everybody in the Freedom Gate family, would you lift up your hands to heaven? And I want us just to invite the Holy Spirit to come and fill this place and to flood our hearts, to flood our homes, to impact our children. Anybody with me? To believe for that right now. To be the, come on, let's be a thermostat right now. To say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I need you to come and just fill. And I hear the Lord saying, whatever he fills, anything of the enemy has to be driven out. Whatever the Lord fills, that leaves no vacancy for the enemy to try to come in any way. Let's ask him to do that right now. There is nothing worth more will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and I've seen.
And I've tasted and seen.
Glory. Stay tuned and stay connected with us. We love you. God bless. Have an awesome rest of your day.